Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf ayin tes. We're holding halfway down the Amud where we begin the Gemara Omar Rava. About 8-9 lines in, beginning of the line. Rava gives us kind of a short, succinct total of everything we've been learning for the last couple of days, all revolving around Hilchos Taruvos, where things get mixed together. So Rava says, bottom line, Om Rabbanan, B'tayma, V'Om Rabbanan, B'ruba, V'Om Rabbanan, B'chazusa. Rava says there are three general rules with which you have to guide yourself when it comes to Taruvos. Now, even though Rava begins Om Rabbanan, which sounds like that this is rabbinic, that this is midrabbanan, however, you see there's a large toisis here in the third wide line, Om Rabbanan b'tayma, u'midalei nokat b'shishim oy b'meya mashma d'midyaraisa ayri shehu b'tama. That even though we use the expression Om Rabbanan, we don't mean Om Rabbanan that this is midrabbanan. We mean to say the Rabbanan, when they deal with these shilas, they have these three general rules. But there's a good possibility that this betama is min ha-toyre. And as you see that there's a large toisis that deals with this at some length, you'll recall that yesterday the Gemara said you had an abraisa, that if you had a matzah which was made out mostly out of orez, out of rice, and a miut was made out of wheat, if you still felt the tam of the wheat in that matzah, and of course, and it was otherwise prepared halachically, correctly, for purposes of Pesach, you could even be yoitze your matzah on Seder night. So that shows you that, at least according to that braisa, the din of nesinas tam is in fact min ha-toyra, not only midrabanan. Okay, toys. Okay, let's go back to yesterday's vlog. We have that four lines from the bottom of the Yomid, Ayin Ches Omid Aleph, Ayin Ches 78a, Masav Rava, Asa Isa Menchitim, three lines from the bottom. Do you have that?
Yes, yes.
Isa means, of course, a dough. You made it Menchitim from wheat flour, Umin Oides, and from rice. And Miesh Botam Dogon Chayavs Bechala. You have to go and give challah throughout the year, challah to the kahanim. Most of it happens to be rice. So the Gemara says, nishkaraya that nesinas tam is min ha-toira. Could be it's midrabban and you give challah. But v'reiti me'ochiyem me'seifa, odom yoytzvo yirechavosim me'pesach. You can use a Seder night. How can you do that? So you see from that clearly that, in fact, it is even min ha-toira that noisin tam is like the ikar, like the thing itself. Anyway, but Rava tells us bottom line that the three general rules when it comes to mixtures is number one betaima, number two beroiv, number three bechazusa. Explains Rava. Min b'she'ina minoi is betaima. When you're talking about two different minim, such as the wheat and the rice, the two different minim, you can go and tell the taste of one when it's mixed into the other, then by time, if you in fact feel it, then you go baser tam. Min b'minoi, if you're talking about two of the exact same min, and therefore there's no way of being able to tell what the tam is because they're identical. So then beruba, then you go after roiv. Heicha di ikka chazuta b'mara. In those cases where we're not talking about food, we're talking about different types of taruvas, says Rashi, l'mosha l'gabi tvilas mikvah. Well, we spoke about yesterday, what happens if you have a bucket that had in it, for instance, yayin lovan, and that yayin lovan was mixing with water, what do you do? So we had a machlokes in the braisa. One man, the yomer, said, well, just look inside the bucket. Is it mostly water of the mikveh, or is it mostly the yayin lovan? And you go, baser roif. Rabbi Yehuda said there's a din of royin. Royin means that you look upon the white wine as if it was red wine, and if it would in fact be red wine, would it leave a mara in the water? And if the answer is yes, no, a bazo is a simon that you had a large accumulation of the yayin, and therefore it would not be kosher in terms of this tvila. You have to go and pour out the wine from the bucket and start over again and go and toivo the dli again. It doesn't have to be dafka in a royin situation. You can have in a real situation, meaning that you have the yayin odoim is inside a dli, inside a bucket, and you're toiving in the mikveh, and now you have this water which is rushing in on all sides of the bucket from the mikveh itself. So now, pull the bucket out and look inside the bucket. Does it look like it has a mara of yayin? No, if that's the case, you didn't have a proper tefillah. If the amount of yayin, which was yayin odoy, if it was so insignificant that you don't see it anymore, it's very, very pale, very, very gonish. So in such a case, it was a good tefillah. So you go basa mara, that's what Rav is saying. Of course, in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, we had originally in our Mishnah, the Shaila, what happens if you have water getting mixed in with the dam that you're going to use for Zrika. There too said the Gemara, as long as there's a mara of dam, even if there's more water than dam, nevertheless, if you have a mara of dam, so you go basa chazuta, basa mara, and the Zrika of the dam would be kosher. So that's what we learned yesterday, and Rav just kind of gave us a total of the a bottom line summary.
There was also something about that you saw the wine or you saw the blood as if it were water. Water in what condition?
That's correct. That's halacha of Rayin. Rava doesn't refer to that. Could be that he does not hold halacha of Rayin. The halacha of Rayin was what happens if you had, for instance, one dam getting mixed into yayin in the Beis HaMikdash. And now I want to know, is this dam kosher for Zerika? So the Mishnah said, Rayin oisek ilhu mayim. Look upon the yayin that mixed together with the dam. If the amount was relatively insignificant, so that it has the status like mayim, then they're fine, because then the dam is the overwhelming volume of the liquid in this mizrak, and then it's good for the zrika sadam. If, on the other hand, if this yayin were to go and be water, and then the dam, the mara of the dam in that water would be very, very small, very minimal, you could hardly see that there was any dam, so then it would not be kosher. So you're absolutely right that Rabbi Yehud in our Mishnah and in the Braisa spoke about the din of Royah. But Rava doesn't go into that, so could be Rava holding that's not lehalacha. Remember, this din that we have, the Mushal Gabi, the Mikvah, there was a machleg between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakhama says, if there's yayin, lovin, and water, I don't start saying Royin, I look whether it was, if it would have been red, would have left a mar, a tzanish. Tanakhama just said, holchanacha, right. It was Rabbi Yehuda that held that you do the halacha of Royin. So it could be that Rava doesn't paskin that way.
So Hazah and Rohin, even though are synonymous, don't mean the same thing.
I'm sorry, once again.
Hazah, the last of the three.
Chazuta. Chazuta, yeah.
Rohin, it's like
seeing. You know, yeah, no, the word Chazuta over here just means Mara. Means what, if you take a look at the Rashi.
Mara is also almost like, looks like.
Like Rohin, you say
Rohin. Rohin, Chazuta, look, appearance, all the same idea.
Yeah, but they're different names.
If you look at the
I see.
If you look at the first wide line of the Rashi, Behecha de'ikka chazuta, mili d'lei tali b'taim, has nothing to do with tam. If you're talking about mikvah water, you're talking about zrikas adam, you're not talking about what the tam is, ele b'chazuta, the appearance. Going le'inyan, tvilas mikvah b'chazuta. So now the tvilas mikvah chazuta means that, again, we have this dli. Let's just say that we're talking about a dli that has in it yayin odoim, not yayin lovin, yayin odrim, right? Bill, you're with me. Yep. You have red wine inside the dli. Even though the amount of wine inside the dli was only 30% or 40%, and now the water comes in it, and in terms of volume, it's much, much more. Normally, you would say you go basa roiv, and since most of the water in this dli happens to be, most of the liquid inside this dli is regular mikvah water, now it's kosher, it's tahor, it's fine. Says Rava, no, that's not enough. You have to go and look in whether or not there's enough yayin odim to leave a mara of yayin in that water. So if you had, lemoshel, 90 or 95% water and only 5% the yayin odim, presumably you wouldn't even see a tint of red. It would be so overwhelmed by the 90, 95% against the 5%. On the other hand, what happens if you had only 75% water and 25% wine? Presumably you would be able to go and see the wine in the water. There are many people that like to drink on Shabbos, what's called, in Yiddish, they call this a spritzer. Spritzer means that you took wine, bottom of your cup, and then you would go and add to it some seltzer. And that was years ago, before they had all these fancy-dancy, all different types of colored and flavored seltzers, is what many, many people used to drink. So, depending on the amount of water that you put in, or the amount of seltzer that you put in, compared to the amount of wine or grape juice at the bottom of the cup. Sometimes you would see, oh, it looks like a red drink, and then you see that mara of the ayin. Or if you put in so little wine at the bottom of the cup, then kamat looked only like seltzer, and you see virtually nothing from the wine. So that's what Rav was referring to in the third halacha. The halacha of royin goes one step further, and that is, Bill, what happens if you didn't have red wine, you had white wine, that you look upon that white wine had it been red, and then you make that same type of analysis. Do you go and say that most of it is water, or do you say that most of it happens to be wine? But that royin is already one further step. Here we're just talking about the actual mara of red wine compared to water, as opposed to white wine that we deem, and as you used the term yesterday, we imagine as if it were red wine. Anyway, with this, we have concluded in these three lines, Rav's bottom line, succinct summary of what we've been learning for the last couple of days. Put two dots, and we start a new shtick. Upligat Rav Elazar. This Upligat Rav Elazar does not go on Rav. Rather, who does he argue with? He argues with Reish Lakish. Who was Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish, you recall, said yesterday, what happens if a person put into his mouth, virtually simultaneously, a kezayis of noiser and a kezayis of pigel, depending on the girsa, a kezayis of tame, and he chewed it, ultimately in his mouth and in his body, there's going to be one that's going to be the mivatel, and the other one that's going to be the batel, one that's going to be the roiv, one that's going to be the miut, like we had yesterday in Reish Lakish. So the Gemara said, Shema Aminah from Reish Lakish. You don't get Malkus for that. Said the Gemara, Shema Aminah from Reish Lakish. Three separate halachas. Number one, that he surin on mevatlin zu ezu. Even though what he ate was clearly asr, and had he eaten each one individually with asra, he'd get Malkus. But because of the fact that he had a mixture, it becomes asra safik. Said the Gemara, he doesn't go and get Malkus. So what do I see from that halach of Reish Lakish? That one of his three shmaminos was that an isr can be mevatel another isr. That shmamina argues with Reb Elazar. Reb Elazar, k'shem shein mitzvois mevatlin zu ezu, kach ein isurin mevatlin zu ezu. Just like a mitzvah cannot be mevatel one the other, so an isur cannot be mevatel one the other. Now you're wondering, man shamas le de'oma ein mitzvah mevatlin zu ezu. Where do you take that from, that one mitzvah is not mevatel? Hilali, desanya, oh, omru Allah vel hil azokin. I think everybody's familiar with this. Hillel, Shehoya Korchan Bebasachas, that's the famous Kodach of Hillel. He used to go and take together in a sandwich. What did he take together? He would go and take the Korban Pesach together with Matzah and Mar. Ba'oichlem Biyachan, Mishim Shenema Al Matzois Umroirim Yechlu. And of course, even today, we continue to have that minig at the Seder, just so we do not have the Pesach together with the Matzah Umroirim, but Mietchen Bekorov, hopefully for this Pesach, we will. Yes.
So in the story where he takes a third, a kezayis pigel and a kezayis, the two other things,
and he's not chayev,
so can't we say with the story
he's not chayev, he just doesn't get malchus.
He doesn't get malchus, so meaning that he doesn't get the full force of the law or whatever.
Fine, good.
So how could we use the story of Hillel Hazakin that took kezayis this and together, so you could somewhat apply he doesn't get the full force of the mitzvah by combining.
Beautiful. So that's why the Martaka starts off. That Reish Lakish says, that you don't get the full force of the law, and you don't get Malkus, which we learned yesterday. Why? Because he holds that one Isser is Mevatel, and other Isser, he argues with Reb Elazar. What does Reb Elazar say in our Gemara? That, in fact, Isser are Mevatel, one the other. Where does he take that from? He says, I take it from Hill. Just like Hill says that ein mitzvahs mevatlin zu ezu, so too ein isurin mevatlin zu ezu. And therefore, with all due respect to Reish Lakish, Reb Elazar disagrees, and he holds that isurin cannot be mevatl one the other. And therefore, in our case of the pigul of the noiser, presumably he would hold that the person would get malchus after all.
Would he get malchus for each iser?
It depends if he had a full kazayit.
I'm saying if he had a kazayit pigul, kazayit.
Well, you're asking a good question. Really, that gets into another shaila. Anytime that you say that something is bottle, does it mean that it's bottle ka'afa de ara, it no longer exists? Or do you say that it's bottle that it doesn't have the full force of the law, using your expression, but nevertheless, it's still intact, it's still there? Because according to some, what happens if you have a roiv, but you don't have the full shear? For instance, we have our case of the, just to give you an example. Back in the Mishnah, we had that what happens if dam of kodshim mixes with dam of a regular behemoth of chulin or dam chaya. Said our Mishnah, royin oisik ilhu mayim. You look upon the dam behemoth or dam chaya as if it was water, and therefore Rashi says, even if one tipa of the dam kosher falls into a large vat full of dam behema or dam chaya, it is still kosher lizrika. Why? Because min beminay le bottle vafila tipa etoich kli gadol is kosher lizrika. Aha. Okay, that's very good. So one drop is kosher. If you remember, we had a couple of days ago, the Gemara said, I think it was according to Rapapa, that when it comes to the hadrika sadam, there's a shiur. The Gemara asked, what's that shiur? The Gemara said, the shiur is that you have to be able to see blood on both sides of each corner. When you go and throw the blood against the corner, you don't have to have an overwhelming amount. Maybe a lot of it spilled out by accident on the ground. So what you can go and do is, as long as there's enough that when you give a zrika, you see drops of blood on the right side and on the left side of each corner, that's already sufficient. So now we were clearing, when we were learning together, learning with my chavrus in the koil, Reb Chiya Aryeh, very choshev b'talmud chacham. So we were clearing that we have here in the Rashi that you only need tipa achas. Tipa achas is not enough to go and see on both sides of the keren. But if you hold that thin of bittel means that the thing that becomes bottle becomes now like a part of the mevatel. Also, I got plenty of dam now. I have the dam of the dam chulin and the dam chayim. Come on, that's not the dam of the kosher dam. But if you say that becomes bottle to the tipa that you're throwing, maybe you have enough blood to go on both sides of the can. So it's always a question when you talk about bittel, does it mean it's zero, it's a gunish, or it's there, it just becomes subsumed in the larger quantity or the thing that you're using that you need for your purpose, whether it's a mitzvah or it's an iser. So getting back to your shaila about the pigul and the noiser, even if you hold that a surin and not mvatel each other, and therefore you have now two isurin which you're eating now simultaneously, you have a problem of the hasra sofik. But putting that hasra sofik away, let's assume you can give hasra zvatai. Would you go and give two malchus, one because of pigul and one because of noiser, because of the fact that I had a kazayis of each one? Or would you say that once it's smaller than the other, maybe becomes bottle to the other? According to Rish Lakish, Isur Mavatlet Zezes, it certainly becomes bottle. So Lechoira, you shouldn't have to have two malchus, only one. But according to Rish Lakish, that holds, Ein Isur Mavatlet Zezes, maybe in fact you would have two times malchus, one for the noiser, one for the pigul. It's what we would call food for thought. And this food for thought, unlike the noise and the pigle, is kosher food for thought. But you're thinking about prohibited matters, that is the pigle and the noise. Anyway, so just again to refresh our memories. So what have we concluded according to Reb Lozer? Reb Lozer says that just like one mitzvah cannot be mevatel another mitzvah. Where do we learn that from? From Hillel HaZaken. That Hillel HaZaken put together the Korban Pesach with the matzis and the morer. And Rashi says, wouldn't the tam mor be mevatel the tam matzah? Especially for those of you that go and rob the mura, that is, if you scrape the mor right before the seder, before everybody begins the seder, that mor can be bitter. Oh, you can be bitter. And if you put that into your, put it down your throat, oh, you can feel it, the sinuses and everything else, you can cry, it's bitter, geferach. So it would certainly be mevatel the tam matzah. But nevertheless, Hillel HaZaken said, no problem, eat it. Isn't one mevatel, one mitzvah mevatel the other mitzvah? Says Gemara, no, ein mitzvah mevatel zu zu. That being the case, similarly, says Rish Lakish, ein isurin mevatel zu zu. So obviously, Rish Lakish and Reb Lozer do not see eye to eye. This last shtickle that we just had is the subject of a Toisis in Masechtas Pesachim, as well as a Svasemis, and they say, I don't understand the raya that Reb Loz is bringing from Hillel HaZaken. Hillel HaZaken, maybe perhaps, Kol HaTeira Kula, mitzvah of one would be mevatel the mitzvah of the other. Here the Torah tells us, Beferish, this is the way you're mekayim the mitzvah. How you mekayim the mitzvah? By putting together your matzahs and maror. Yes, I would certainly prefer eating them separately, because mitzvahs perhaps are mevatel zuzu. But the Torah says, no, I want you dafka to eat them together, matzahs. So that's from that you don't bring a raya that mitzvahs are not mevatel. Here, fakir, the kiyum of the mitzvah is by eating them together. It's not the Toisis Asis Kasha in Masechtas Pesachim on Tav Kuf Tezvav. Vosh Deiton the Toisis. This is, of course, on Pesachim, so it talks about the Inyanim of Hillel HaZaken. Im Toimar, Frey Toisis. Minola and the Sovar Hillel de Ein Mevat Lois. Where do we see that Hillel holds a one mitzvah is not Mevat to the other? Film is shiny hacha, the gully krat, the Torah said, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to eat them together. Normally, if you have two separate mitzvahs to go in and to eat, I'm not sure how many other mitzvahs there are to go and eat, to go and talk about a mitzvah being mevatel the other mitzvah. But maybe, at least theoretically, mitzvahs perhaps, ain't mevatel suazu. I'm sorry. Maybe, thank you very much. Normally, he holds that mitzvahs are mevatel one the other. What's the reason why he held it here? You can go and eat together the matzahs and maror, because the Torah said that's where you got to do it. You have to make a sandwich and you have to eat them together. Sorry?
So the first one,
matzahs and maror. Matzahs and maror, yechu. Since he holds lichatchila, you got to eat them together. B'diavad nofikiloi korech. Toisa says that even Hillel HaZaken would agree that b'diavad, if you didn't, if you forgot, if you didn't realize, you didn't know, and you ate them separately, you're ulza yoitze b'diavad. Not lichatchila, but b'diavad yoitze. In Cain, if that's the case, ba'alma ein mevatlois. It must be that elsewhere in the Torah, one mitzvah is not mevatl the other mitzvah. The e mevatlois, because if one is mevatl, im Cain itzrich krohocha, you would need the Al-Batzis HaMeroyim not to go and tell you that that's the way to do the mitzvah, but rather to go and negate and say, don't say, it's like Kol HaTorah Kula, we normally would hold that one mitzvah is mevatel. Here, the mitzvah is not mevatel. Therefore, you can eat it together. Not that there's a chiv to eat it together, but you can eat it together. How do we go and jump the extra step, right? Normally you say, tefasta merubai tefasta, tefasta miyuta tefasta. If you're going to go and tell me that Hillel holds generally that one mitzvah is mevatel the other mitzvah, then I would have to say that al matzah merayim yichlu is a gilui krah, that here it's not mevatel. But not that chili should go and eat them together, because that's already going a further step. But once we decide that Hillel holds that one mitzvah is not mevatel the other mitzvah, so what's the chiddush of the al matzis memrichlu? To go and tell you, don't only the diyeva do it that way, lechadchili is supposed to go in that way. Normally, throughout Kol HaTorah Kula, ein mitzvah mevat lois. In our case, not only ein mitzvah mevat lois, but you should go in lechadchili, mix the two together to be able to yoitza the mitzvah of Karban Pesach and matzis memrichlu. Okay, anyway, that's the choices over there, and that's the basis of Hill, and that's the basis of Reb Lazar. With this, we start a new sugi here on the top, not totally new, but unrelated.
We're going to turn the page on that.
Ah, very good. But Baruch Hashem, we're all together on the same page. Turn around, we have a braisa. Shein the braisa zoi cherson shel zov v'zova. Cherson, as you can tell from the word, comes from the word cheres. But we're not talking about a full kli cheres. We're talking about a shard of kli cheres. What was it originally? Says Rashi, it was an avit shomei raglayim. And what they used to call, for their babies, they used to call them, for the children, potty chairs. Or perhaps you would call it a portable urinal. Or whatever. Anyway, it was used by Ezov and Ezova, or Ezova, and it was used for meiraglayim, for a person to go and urinate. And there was urine that stood in that avit shomei raglayim, which is now a broken piece of pottery, this shard, and it was used, you know, on an ongoing basis. And now you want to go and take away the tumah inside of this shard. What do you mean? Why is there tuma there? The reason why there's tuma is because when it comes to a zav or to a zava, they're mayonis. Mayonis means their body liquids also emit tuma. So, for instance, the Torah says, "V'chiyorek hazav batoher." A zav goes and spits chas v'shalom on someone else, or even if he just spits on the ground. That spittle has a din of tumas masa. Not only that, the same thing applies to his urine. If his or her, the zova, if you have a urinal that has urine in it, that urine is also metame.
It's a sin of emission.
It's not a sin, but it is a tumah that is emitted as a result of the emission.
And transmitted.
And transmitted and emitted and exactly. And submitted. So, anyway, it's beautiful. So now the Gemara tells us what happens. You want to be able to go and purge all of those bliyos of the meiraglayim. What you can do is you can take it pamrishain usheini, take it and rinse it out thoroughly once or twice, and the tuma is still in that charsan. It has not come out yet. Shlishi, do it three times. Oh, then it's tar. Then we say that it does come out. Now, what's the reason why it does come out? Because by purging it three times, or soaking it, or rinsing it three times, that takes out the meiraglaim that was there until now. So Rashi asks, why do you even assume there's any meiraglaim? You look at the urinal, you look at this charsan, and it's totally dry. There's no wetness in it whatsoever. And you're attributing to it, it's as if you are touching or carrying a meiraglai. So Rashi says, based on a Gemara Maseches Nida, that what you can do is try it out, put this charsan inside an oven, put the oven up to 350, 400 or whatever, and then you'll see shortly thereafter that little drips are going to start dripping from that charsan, and those drips will be meiraglayim that got absorbed in the walls of that charsan. Ah, so even though now I don't see it, but they're absorbed in the walls, and therefore if you were to go and carry that charsan, you become a tamei.
If it's already shattered, why is in Shviros Susi Tara, so it's already, doesn't
actually happen afterwards.
We're going to address that question, Joe.
Okay.
No, you made it a kli. You made it a new kli. It broke, but now you're using it as a different.
It's a shard. It's a shever kli.
Because now you're giving it
from here. We get to kosher oven.
You're using it as a
how to kosher an oven.
Kosher oven. Yeah. Okay.
This is kosher in the urinal.
Everybody, please hold on to the question for another moment. So, when we talking about shenosan letoichoy mayim, that the purging element to go and take out the meiraglaim that was absorbed in the water, absorbed in the walls of this charsan, is that he used water to rinse it out three times. What happens if he didn't put in water, but instead he put in urine? Which type of urine? Meiraglaim of an odom kosher. So I would think, okay, one of them will purge the other, so that after three times, you'll no longer have the so-called bad meiraglaim absorbed, that is of the zava zava, but now you'll have of the odom kosher. Says the Braisa, no, afilasir, even if you did this 10 times, it's tame.
You're in the same place.
Why even 10 times does it remain tame? We'll see Mechem in the Gemara, another two lines, because this man, the Emma, holds min beminoi loy bottle. Since you're talking about urine and urine, meiraglaim, meiraglaim, it does not become bottle, it stays inside the kli, even though you taka trying to take out the meiraglaim of the zav and replace it with meiraglaim of the kosher, but nevertheless, the two have merged, one min b'minei loy batal. That's the Tanakam. This min Yaakov Oimer, shlishi, af bishlei noz letoichei mayim. If you go and fill it up three times with, for instance, urine, not with water, it's also tahar, because the Blaise min Yaakov holds that the purging by putting in the new liquid, the new meiraglaim, is good enough to take out the old meiraglaim, and you don't hold that min b'minoi loy bottle. Zokti mor who's the tana kama man shamas le da omen min b'minoi bottle. That's Reb Yehuda. Ah, Where do we have Rabbi Yehuda? We have this, of course, Rabbi Yehuda back in our Mishnah, that dam bedam, he says lebatel, and we quoted the Rashi, even tipa achas, within a huge vat of blood, it still remains, it still has its Torah's blood. So here too, min b'mina lebatel.
Why are you even asking this question? This is like, we always say that terasso of a kli cheres is always shirasa.
Okay, so that's the same question that your brother Barry asked about minutes ago. You weren't happy with the question then, but now you're jumping on
I'm saying that I was said that because now you gave it a new purpose. You repurposed the
Shivrikli.
Shivrikli has a new purpose. But now you're putting in something which is Tommy, just like you know, Semikdash.
The Meridaim of a Tar is Tar.
Pardon?
You're not putting in Tomei.
But after it was repurposed, the Zav used it as a urinal. So now it has Balua in it, this
Meraglayim
of a Zav. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it now has the tomb in it, and you can't get rid of it. Just like the Beis Hamikdash, they had all the clean terrace. They had a Noser in it. You had to show over all the Kalim. Here too, so the question shouldn't even start.
It's not the kli, it's the liquid inside that's the problem.
Well, that's the same thing with Nosar, that's the Balea in the kli.
Okay, so since I see everybody's hot on this issue, let's try to address it at this time. Talking about the noisa that gets absorbed inside the walls of the kli cheres, that requires you each time to go and break the kli cheres, unless you were able to go and purge it on the same day that you had originally cooked in it, lemushal, a chatas, or an asham, go and cook in it now a shlomim, and that will now extend it for another day. We had that Umar back in early Masechtas. Here, what we're talking about is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. If you recall, said that what happens if I have a cask, a chovius, which was full of yayin nesach, that if you want to use it now for kosher wine, the Gemara gave two eitzes. One eitzah was just leave it empty for a year, and after the year, then automatically the old wine has
expired.
That's a good term.
Evaporated.
And even if it hasn't evaporated, but it's
halachically expired.
Exactly, halachically expired. Halachically evaporated. Halachically, it's a nois and tam of gam. So it's gunish, matgunish after a full year. The Gemara gave another eitz. I don't want to wait for a full year. What you can do is leave it over three times amas less, and each time pour it out. In other words, fill up that. Remove, of course, all the yayin nesach. Go and wash it and give it a nice shtif of adocha, wash it and rinse it and all the rest. Then fill it up with water for 24 hours. Then pour out the water. Fill it up again for 24 hours with water. Pour it out. Do it a third time. And after three times, it's kushin. The question is, didn't we say that when it comes to kli cheres, the only way that you can go and kasher kli cheres, shvirasan zuhi taharasan, by breaking it? So the Gemara said it depends on whether the liquid or the absorptions were through hot methods or through cold methods. When you're talking about the noiser and the stuff in the Beis Hamikdash, you use this for cooking. Cooking, obviously, by definition, it's hot. Anything that's buleya, there's no way that you can purge it, even if 100 times, with the best detergents and the best waters and everything that you want, because once it's hot, it stays there forever. Mashengen, if it's only cold, then you can go and purge it by the foregoing methods. Here we're talking about the Meraglayim, although the Meraglayim may be warm, if you will, but it's certainly not to the point of hot, of Yatzeledes, and therefore, by putting in the numerous quantities of water, you can go and purge it. Here it doesn't even require it to be left overnight three times. Presumably the reason is because in the case of the chavius, the wine stayed there for a while. You usually use a chavius for a month, 6 months, a year, sometimes for 20 and 50 years. So then it had a greater chance to go and stay in there. However, when you're talking about a urinal, presumably you always pour the urine out very quickly because of the stench and because of the fact you wouldn't be able to make a bracha and so on and so forth. So it didn't have a real staying power, but at least it didn't stay in the kli cheres for any lengthy period of time. So presumably that's why you don't need the three times overnight, just the three washings and it's already kosher according to the Tanakh. So that answers your question about how it helps by putting in the water. But it doesn't answer the question about don't you have to go and break it. So in fact, the Achroinim on this Gemara say that you have to do both. Why do you have to do both? Number one, you have a problem that the kli itself became tomei because it touched the meiraglayim, and the meiraglayim didn't only touch it, it got absorbed into the kli, so that makes the kli tamei. In addition to that, the meiraglayim, which is still inside the kli, there's still meiraglayim there, like Rashi said, put it in an oven, you'll see it'll start dripping out. It didn't go and evaporate into thin air. It's absorbed into the walls, and it can be extracted by putting it into an oven. So therefore you have really two concerns. You have the concern of that the kli became tummy because it touched the meiraglayim, and because there's meiraglayim inside. Our Gemara only addresses directly the meiraglayim, which is inside. I want to get it out. The reason why we're addressing that, because that figures into the machloikis with min b'minoi bottle, loy bottle, can I purge it only through water, or can I do it through the meiraglayim of an ish tohar? And that, of course, is a machloikis here in this brisa. That's only focusing on extracting and removing the bliyos. But what happens to the klicheris itself? Klicheris itself, you're right, it still remains tamei, even after you go and purge all of the rest. And the klicheris, you cannot go and be matar by putting it into a mikvah, because the only way you can matar is shvirasan zuhi tarasan. Guess what? That's why I say the achroin of the brisa begins charsan shel zava. It's not that the urinal fell to the ground and it broke. He intentionally broke it because he wants to remove the tumah of the kli. So even after you take out the bliyos of the meiraglayim, that helps vis-a-vis the meiraglayim, and therefore if a person now touches the kli, I no longer have to worry about the meiraglayim, but I have to worry about the kli itself being tummy. But if Chaz said, if it's a broken piece, it's a shard, then I have both the benefit of the breakage, and I have the benefit of taking out meiraglayim, she shouldn't be metame b'magu b'masa, and carrying around meiraglayim in my hands, because it's still inside the cheres, purge it. So therefore you won't have either the problem of the cleese being tummy, or its contents, the absorptions inside being tummy. Does that address your question?
Somewhat. I understand why he's breaking it. What purpose?
At least we've gotten 50.
No. I understand what purpose a broken kli cheres has. If he's breaking it, then what utility? I can't imagine what utility.
Then it sells a base kibble. It still uses.
Then it sells Torah's kli. If he has a base kibble, it sells Torah's kli. So a kli cheres that's broken but still has a base kibble, is it tahar? Get away from Meir Raglayim. A sheretz was inside this kli cheres.
Exactly, made it
and it's okay, so it's tamei. So now it's broken. Right. Still has a base kibble.
No tahar, the tumah leaves it.
Even as a base kibble.
Yes.
It's a new kli. It's a new kli with a new base kibble. It has a new panu chadashus baal kan.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's the nucleus, right? Okay, anyway, so let's continue on. So, I'm sorry. We have now the view of the Tanakama, which we've already established. Manchamas le da'omah b'min b'min le batal. That's the reason why the two urines are not mevatel one another. That's Reb Yehuda. That's the Tanakama, and that's Reb Yehuda, which we had in the Mishnah as well. Freik timor aminu. Let me ask you a kasha. We have pishton shetavosoi nida. Masitoi tohar. V'mayolach masitoi tamei. Mishamashkapia. What is this all about? We have a lady who is going and is taking flax and is making it into linen. That's a lotion of tavasi. Tavasi normally means to spin, but I don't know that spinning is shayach legabe fibers of flax, but of course I'm not in the flax fiber production business. If you're talking about regular thread, for instance, from wool on the back of a lamb, and you take that thread, and then you go and comb it, and you clean it, and the whole thing, and then you're making now thread out of it, there you use the term to spin the thread. I'm not sure that the term spinning over here applies, but it does mean that she is in the process of taking the raw fibers and converting them into linen thread. Okay, it was a woman who's in nida that was doing that. Uh-huh. Our Gemara doesn't go into it. The Gemara Maseches Ksubis says that to be able to manufacture the linen, you have to have roik of the person who's working with those fibers, I guess to soften them, to moisten it, and to straighten out that the fibers should not be folded, but rather they should be nice and straight, and then stretched out, whatever. The more it talks about over there, how does it get into Masechtas Ksubis? Because the Mishnah over there says that even a regular, normal woman that gets married, she has four duties that she has to do for her husband, and one of them is legabe begodim, and the Gemara says over there She's only mechuyev to go and do work betzemer, but not bepishtan. Why? Says the Gemara, because pishtan, unfortunately, when a woman is busy with that and she has to go and moisten some of those fibers, it leaves a bad odor in her mouth, and it also can cause her lips to bloat and to swell. Therefore, that's not what we want to our married wives to look like. And so therefore, they're not mechuyev to be oisekis and pishtan, only in tzemer.
Or okay. Her husband may give her flack.
He may give her a lot of flack. Exactly, a lot of flack too. Anyway, so a minute. So pishtan shetavos a nida who was working with the pishtan, and she's putting her roik on her fingers and on the pishtan from time to time. And now I bought that pishtan, and of course it's been dry now for the last week or two or a year or two since the woman was working with it. It's dark. You don't have to worry about the absorptions of the roik inside the pishtan. It's all dried out. Forget about it.
Was it a kli at all? I mean, if it's in thread form, if it's in...
And now the pishtan has now become into a kli form.
Okay.
Vim hoyalach, and what happens if it happens to be wet? In other words, it's coming literally straight from the printing press, or in this case, from the pishtan linen press, and it's still moist. Oh, the masita is tame, because since the roik of the nida fell onto this, or was put onto this pishtan, and onto this flax, and this linen, also then, and it's still wet, so I'm now touching that roik, and Rashi quotes the pasuk in Chumash, "Yoroik hazov or hazova batohar." The person becomes tame. Okay, so this is the real roik business because it's still lach. The person is tame. Why? Like the Gemara says, "Mishemashkepia," because she has to put a roik on this pishtan from time to time in the production. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, "Af a roik foy b'mayim tame mishemashkepia." If you were to go and take this dried out pishtan, back to the ratio of the brisa, where it says pishtan shedavasei nida masito is tohar. Why? Because the pishtan and whatever absorptions of roik that it has have all dried out. So tohar, it's fine. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Af a roik foy b'mayim." Were you to go and to take this new product, this linen product, and you go and pour it into water to clean it, lamashal, to wash it, what happens now? It's tame. Why mishemashke pia? Because the water now, it's like chozer v'neir. It causes that roik that was there and dried out for the last month, it causes now to reawaken. So it's as if we're actually touching the roik itself in the beged, because the beged is now wet. It's somewhat parallel to what we talked about before, where you had the urine inside the urinal, where it's all dried out, but you put it into the oven, it's going to start dripping out. It's only absorbed. It's not evaporated here, too. It's only absorbed. It's not evaporated. So you put it into the water, then you bring back the roik alive, and therefore it's tameh. Now, the Brais, the Gemara's Medayik, since Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say how many times he was put it into the water, it's mashva filatuva. Even if you did it 10 times, that you put it into the water and you pour the water out, maybe on separate occasions, but each time you have been roit v'mayim, each time it's tummy. Be careful. If you touch that beged, you're going to have to go to the mikveh to go and take away the tummy. You'll have to maserif. Afilatuva. Why afilatuva? Didn't Rabbi Yehuda say in the previous brisa at the top that as long as you did it 3 times, the tumah goes away, and you don't need to do it more than 3 times. Shlishi et star. Here we're saying afilatuva even 10 times, even 20 times. The roik still remains within the beged. So isn't that a stira, Rabbi Yehuda on Rabbi Yehuda? Amravava shani roik de korir. Roik is different than meraglein, because roik is considered to be more potent, if you will, and it penetrates deeper into the beged, and therefore it's not easy to eradicate and to purge even after 10 times of water. Mashen Kain, if you're talking about the case of the meraglein, it doesn't penetrate that deeply, so as long as you have the 3 hadochos, that is sufficient. Rashi seems to add an additional nekuda. Here we're focusing on what is the tamei mashkin, the
matame.
The matame, thank you, as opposed to the receptacle of the tumah.
Yes.
Because the choy, you can go and give another svara as well.
Right, fiber versus klicheris.
Baruch Hashem, Givaldik. Would you mind? I may not have time today. Could you give this year, please, tomorrow? I'm sure everybody would enjoy it. Anyway, 10 lines before the wide lines in the Rashi, you'll see Shani Roik Dekar. First, he brings a French term of Trish Trish Balaz, whatever that means. It means that it penetrates because it's more potent. Nichnas bepishtem bechazaka chazka, strong. The kasha lotzeis, very difficult to purge that roik that goes in. And you remember we had the gemara yesterday and the previous day that roik also is very, very thick. And if it's on the bottom of your kli and you want to go and be matire the kli by immersing in the mikveh, you better make sure to take out that roik because it's thick and it absorbs and it gets attached to the walls. It's a choshev azach in a sense. That's when you're talking about the roik. Continues on Vusuk Toi Baita Darashi. The kosher lot says, Ava Meiraglaim Loi Bli Becheres Kuli Hai. The Meiraglaim doesn't get absorbed into the Cheres with that same degree of intensity that the Roik gets absorbed into the Pishtan. So it's both, I believe, because of the difference in the Roik and the Meiraglaim. This is more toxic, it's more penetrating, this is more potent than the Meiraglaim, as well as in what it's being absorbed. Here you're talking about fabric of course absorbs much, much better than if you're talking about a Kli Cheres, which is not boileia as strongly. Okay, anyway, that's the difference, and we go on to the next article. It says in our Mishnah, Sar b'dam ha'psulim yishafach lama. For this we have to go back to the Mishnah just for a second, because when we learned it, we said we don't fully understand it. Now, but in Yetshim, we're going to get to it, we'll hopefully understand it better. Back on Daf Ayin Zayin Amid Beis, we started the Mishnah, and we continued on to Ayin Ches Amid Aleph. The focus of the Mishnah, focus of the Gemara, is so far on the top of Ayin Ches Amid Aleph, where you see at the end of the first line, it says, Nis'arev B'dam Psulim. You have kosher blood. What means kosher blood? We don't mean kosher that you're allowed to eat, you're not allowed to eat any blood. We mean blood that was kosher for Zerikas Hadam. It was Dam HaNefesh. It got mixed into Dam Psulim. Tap Rashi and Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, you have that? Yeah. Says Rashi, what's B'dam Psulim? Going Roiva V'nirva. You had a behema which was not qualified for purposes of a carbon, because unfortunately it engaged in a violation of marital relations with people. Terrible. Roiva V'nirva, disgusting. Or Nishchat Chutzas Mayne Chutzam Koimai. When the person who was doing the shrita did it, he had in mind the machsheves pigel. They were going to eat this carbon either chutzlas mani beyond its time limitation or chutzim koim beyond its location. So that passels the carbon. So it also passels the dam. So I have bad blood. Where's it, Shelley? He would like to make something about bad blood. So you have bad blood of reva nirva or of pigel that spills into kosher blood for zrika. What happens now? Says a Mishnah, this Arab Adam, Psulim, if it got mixed in with bad blood, Yishafal Chama, you have no way of redeeming this, no way of kashering it, you gotta just pour it out into the Omer, that's the stream that you have there in the Azara, and you gotta start from scratch. In other words, if you brought a carbon, unfortunately we're not able to do this Rika Saddam, you didn't have the Matir, bring a new behema, start all over again from the beginning and make sure it doesn't get mixed in again with damsul. That's halacha number one. And then the Mishnah continues on b'dam ha-tamtzis. If the dam, as you know, for the zrikas dam, you have to have the dam ha-nefesh. Dam ha-nefesh means dam she-ha-nefesh yoitzeboy, that typically spurts out at the time of shechita. The shoichet checks, and then tons of the blood starts going and spurting out. That's dam ha-nefesh. Dam ha-tamtzis means you have drips and drops either at the outset of the shechita or more particularly after the major shechita is over and the dam ha-nefesh has spurted out. Then you have little drops coming out. That's called dam ha-tamtzis, which is not kosher. If the kosher blood, the dam ha-nefesh, gets mixed into dam ha-tamtzis, says again the Mishnah, yishafach l'amah. No way of being able to redeem this. You just got to pour it out in the amah. Rebbe Lezer machshir. Rebbe Lezer says it is kosher after all. So when we learned the Mishnah, we were clearing, first of all, what's the reason for the Tanakhama that he says the Sarvadam Psulim, automatically it's rejected. Why can't you go and try to figure out what's the Roiv, what's not the Roiv? Why can't you go and say that maybe we should go and look at a Roiv and change Maris Dam or Maris Mayim and those types of considerations? And Reb Lezer said that his kosher, is he only going on the Dam HaTamtzis case, or is he going also on the Nisar B'dam Sulim case? So when we learned the Mishnah, we said, let's look at the Rashi. And the Rashi says that the Svara of the Tanakhama is Mishum Gezeira Kin Mefarish B'Gemar. So we have to know what that Gezeira is all about, and why doesn't Rebbe Lezer hold of the Gezeira? And that's what we're going to have now, a discussion between Rav Zvid and Rav Papa in the Gemara. So we're going to have a machloikis amayroim as to the svaris, as well as the breath of the machloikis tanoim. So to more b'may kemifligi. We're now back on ayin tes amid beis. This ar b'dam apsulim yishofach ha'amad. B'may kemifligi. Where's the machloikis? What's the reason for the machloikis? Rav Zvid be goizrin gzeira b'miktish kemifligi. Are we goizrin gzeira or not? To marsava goizrin or marsava loy goizrin. So what do we mean? So, the case of our Mishnah is talking about, explains Rashi, where roiv of the blood was dam kosher, meaning your normal, regular dam hanefesh from your regular carbon, it was gevaldik, no problem with it. A miut that fell in was bad, of bad blood, either dam psulim, like the roiv venirv or the pigle, such as that we had in the Mishnah, or in the case of the dam tamsis, that was the miut. If you're going to go basar roiv, then you would go and say, since most of the blood happens to be kosher blood, use it, don't worry about it, and make it for the Zrika Sadam. Says, however, our Mishnah, the Tanakhama holds, I make a gezeira. If I'm going to allow, when kosher blood and non-kosher blood mix together, I'm going to allow for a spritzing. And the reason why I'm allowing for it, because roiv of the blood is kosher blood. What's going to happen tomorrow, or next week, or next year, when we're going to have a similar mixed up situation, mixture situation, and there it's going to be the other way around, that most of the blood in the mizrik was dam psulim, or the dam of the tamatamsis. What happens then? A kohen at that time, who's not a grois Talmud Chacham, and didn't learn through Arba Chelki Shulchan Aruch, or the Rambam, may go and say, well, I remember a year ago I was there, and there was a very distinguished looking chief rabbi that was there, and it says it got mixed together, it's still good, and you can do the zrika. But he missed out on an important element, that because the roiv of the blood was kosher blood. He just knows the blood and blood, maybe he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, min b'mina lay bottle, so I still have kosher blood here, let's go and do it. But bottom line is, what's going to happen is a year later when it's going to be fakert, I mean, forget that roiv of the blood is going to be bad blood. He's going to go and say, well, I remember last year it got mixed up and we made Azrika. We're going to make a Azrika now too. Because of that chshash, says Rav Zvid, says the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, that we're going to Zegzera, if it gets mixed up, two bloods together, just pour it out. I don't want that later on there might be another situation where the roiv of the blood is the bad blood and we're going to use that for Zrika Saddam. So therefore, I make Zegzera across the board, go and pour it out. Marsavale goyzer. Rabbi Yehuda of our mission was Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lezer. Then the mission, I'm not goyzer. I mean, it could happen, obviously, but how likely is that to happen? So he is machsher, he's not goyzer gezer. Now Rashi points out that earlier on in our Mishnah, we had a case of if it was nisarev, bedam behema, or bedam chayil mashal, the Gemara said that as long as we have a roiv of the kosher blood, then royin oisekil humayim, any other offending chulin blood or chaya blood, is not a problem. We go basa roiv, you have kosher blood. You may be thinking about Rabbi Yehuda, where the dam of Atul dam. We're going according to Tanakh.
Questions today. I'm being careful.
Why? He can give the share, no problem. We love it. Anyway, I didn't mean to offend you, Hashem. But back to the Mishnah, it says that if it gets mixed up with dam behema or dam chaya, roin oisekilu mayim, and therefore it's kosher because the roiv of the blood was kosher blood. So why don't you go make the same gzeir over there, that maybe next year there's going to be the same situation, and that dam behema and dam chaya will get mixed in, and there it'll be the roiv, and you might do a zrika sadam nevertheless, based on what's happening today. Says Rashi, because that's a dovar she'enoi shchiach. When's the last time you had a behema that was chulin coming into the Beis HaMikdash? You're not allowed to bring chulin into the Beis HaMikdash. Dam chaya, the blood of a chaya, of a wild beast. Wild beast isn't that kosher for a carbon under any circumstances. So this is such a dovar she'enoi shchiach. Everybody would agree we're not goyzer. This case, however, of bad blood, in the case of a posel of carbon, like a roiv, a venirva, a pigledik of carbon, or for instance a balmum, or other things, that apparently was more shchiach. I don't know how often it might have happened, maybe once in a yoivul, but it could happen. And therefore, since it could happen, it's more moved over shchiach. That's why the Tanakhama holds it with geyser. But nevertheless, Rebbe Lezer in our Mishnah says, is it Rebbe Lezer? I keep on forgetting who it is. Yes, Rebbe Lezer says, machshir, because I'm not geyser gzeir. So that's the first pshat of Rebbe Zvid. And according to this pshat, Rebbe Lezer of our Mishnah is machshir in both cases, because he says, I'm not worried, I don't make gzeiros like that. And the reason why he doesn't want to make a gzeira, Rashi points out, is because it's a chumra haboli de kula. What do we mean by that? By saying that I'm going to make a gzeira and I'm not going to use the blood, then I'm wasting a carbon. Min ha-toira, this carbon is a kosher carbon. I have roiv of kosher blood and I have hefsed kodshim. I agree that you have to go and do a siyogla toira, you have to do gzeirais. But this gzeira is counterproductive. It's going to save the blood for next year, but it's going to make kalya the blood for this year. So, therefore, says Rav Lezer, now Mishnah, I'm machshir, I don't make a gzeira. That's how Rav Zvid learned. Rav Papa Amar Dekuli Alma Goizen. Even Rav Lezer Mishnah also holds Me'ikar Adin that we are Goizer Gzeira. And therefore, in the first case, he's maskim to the Tanakama that if you have a mixture with Dam Psulim, itaka becomes posel. Yishofech Li Alma. He's only arguing on the second case. What's the second case? Bachar Damatam says Motzi L'Rabbi Yisrael Dam Enevish Kamiflegi. How likely is it that the Damatamtis will ever be more than the Dam HaNefesh, that you have a Shaila of a Roy, then a year from now people are going to go and say, oh, it's kosher. Remember, this year was kosher when it got mixed in with the Dam HaTamsis. So it must be kosher. Yeah, but they don't realize. Last year, the Dam HaTamsis was the Miut. This year, the Dam HaTamsis is the Roy. Says Rapapa Alibid Reb Lezer, how motzi is it that the Dam HaTamsis should overwhelm the amount of Dam HaNefesh? Dam HaNefesh, you're talking about 10, 20 gallons spurting out from this behemah. Dam HaTamsis would be the residual dam that's left after that major spurting. A drip, 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 drip. Ah! It's such an insignificant amount. Ah, v'hachem b'dam HaTamsis motzi. The rabbi's Dam HaNefesh kemifligi marsov the Tanakam hold shchiach. It's shchiach enough that I'm goyzer. Marsov aloy shchiach, this is such a rare thing. Ah, you're not goyzer on something like that. What's the nafkimin, of course, between the two Mandi Amrim? The nafkimin is whether or not Reb Lezer is arguing on both cases or only on the second case. According to Rav Zvid, he's arguing in both cases because he's saying, I don't hold of making Zeris B'migdash because of Hefzid Kachim. Masha'en Kira Papa said, no, no. He also agrees that we have to be Goizig Zera. And that's why he's Goizig Zera in the case of the Psulim. The reason why he's not Goizig in the second case is because the Dam HaTamsis. Because a dovish leishchiach legozu barabanan. This is such a rare commodity, a rare instance where dam atamta should be more than the dam anavish. They didn't. They were not guys. Zutimar bishlem l'rapap behind the diktoni nisar b'dam b'psulim yishafach l'ama. Separate case, but dam atamta yishafach l'ama. The Mishnah split it up into two separate cases because afterwards the Mishnah says Rebbe Lezer machshir. He's only being machshir in the second case and not in the first case because he holds a dovish leishchiach. El Rav Zvid, that Reb Lezer is arguing, in fact, on both cases, Levin of Lesnino. Let's go and combine the two together. Nisar bedam hapsulim, oy bedam atamtis, yishofach liyama. And that would have saved us two or three or four words in the Mishnah. Tomorrow kasha, why didn't Rabbeinu HaKadosh go and be, since the whole, all of these Mishnayos are talking about Teruvis, he could have been Ma'arev these two cases and make them into one. And we start another Mishnah, Baruch Hashem, Dam Tmimim B'Dam Bali Mumin. Oh, the previous Mishnah talked about the Psulim. Here's also a form of Psulim, but the reason why the Mishnah repeats it again is because we're going to have related discussions, as you'll see. So you have a dam tamimim, dam of a regular kosher carbon, everything is fine, gets mixed with dam of bali mumen of course is possible for a carbon, and they both fell in together into one. Kli, yishafach la'ama, pour it out. Notice here, we don't have Reb Lezer machshir, and Rashi says, like Rav Papa said, because the whole reason Reb Lezer holds machshir, because the dovish ain't a shchiach. Here he holds that it's a dovish shchiach, that a balmum should get mixed into dam tmimim is far more shchiach than all the other cases that we're talking about with the dam atamtzis and even the case of the roiv v'nirva. How many animals do you know that engaged in such relations that it would be a roi v'nira. How often do you know that there's a carbon that was pigle? Why should anybody have a machshavas pigle? But a balmum could easily have gone under the radar screen. As you know, by behema, balmum is even, how much? What's a balmum? Even dekshim ba'ayin. So with the shoycha that's shechting and the koyin that's busy with it, they didn't look into the eyes to see whether they had your cataracts, nish cataracts, and things of that nature. These are very, 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 very delicate things that you don't ordinarily pick up. So now at the time of all the dams spurting into the Mizrak, where dam of Bali Mumin gets mixed in, only subsequently, so, hey, look, there's a Mumin that I didn't even realize there's a Mumin. Take a look in the eyes, take a look in the feet, take a look in the... Blah, blah. You're right, it's a Bali Mumin. Oh. So this, says Rashi, this is much more Shchiach. And therefore everybody would agree that we should be Goyzer Yishafach L'Amah. Now that's talking about the original dam. What about Kois Bekoisois? In other words, not that they all fell into the same Mizrak, but you have a mix-up of different koises. One kois was full of dam kshedim, of a regular kosher, and the other kois was full of dam psul, of the dam, in this case the bali mumin, and now I got a problem. Initially, when the bal mum's blood fell into this Mizrak, and the dam fell into the other Mizrak, I saw that they were two separate koises. Then I realized, uh-oh, this is a balmum. Which of the two koises is the balmum blood and which is the tmimim blood? Nobody knows. What do I do now? I have a kois mixed up in other koises. In other words, all these mizrakim are waiting to be spritzed on the mizbeach, and there was a mix-up in the koises. One has good blood and one has bad blood. What do you do? So Reb Lezer is lishitosa. You remember we had in a previous Mishnah, what happens if you had a vorim of a bali mumin getting mixed up with a vorim of a tmimim, said Reb Lezer, im korev bi kois echad, yikrevu kol kois. Once one kois was already used for zrikas adam, we're going to be toiler that that was the one that had in it the bad blood. So all the other koises which are remaining, yikrevu kol kois, no problem, you can go and continue doing zrikas adam from the remaining koises.
But not by twos, by twos.
Very good. So what Bill is asking, and I'm sure Barry is thinking about, don't we have the 2x2 requirement so that you have two factors? Factor number one is we can rely that the first one was the bad blood. And even if not, the next time that we're going to go and take two koises together and do a Zrikas Adam, one of them for sure is kosher blood. So Miga, this is kosher blood, the other one is also. That's the point that you're making. And if you notice right after the Mishnah, go to Peyamat Aleph, right after the Mishnah, Amr Blazer, Lihishra Blazer, Allah, Shnayim, Shnayim, just like you said, right? I'm sure you were thinking of that. And therefore, just like we learned in the past, you have to have Taka two at a time. It says Yikruv Kolakois, it doesn't mean one at a time. Have two Kehanim, each going and throwing the blood simultaneously. Even if all of them have been brought except for one, we're going to have to learn this like we learned in the Gemara before. What means except for one? One pair, the one pair are still remaining. Yishafak la'amah, go and pour it out in the yamah. Same machlek as we had before. Now, let's talk about lamata lamal. We haven't spoken about that in a long time. So now we're not talking about oifois, we're talking about regular behemois. Hanitana lamata, those kabanas that you bring lamata mechuta sikra, like your normal standard carbon. Shinis arbinitana lamala got mixed up with blood, which is lamala. Which is the only carbon that we do lamala? Chatas behemah that we took all the way on top of the koronis, which is of course lamala mechuta sikra. The two got mixed up together. What do we do? Reb Lezer oimi yitel lamala v'royin yisatach toinim milmalon ki ilu heimayim v'yachsav yitel lamata. Says Reb Lezer with the same svara that we had earlier on, because we know that you can go and do the shem eitzim, right? L'reich nichoyach I ata malav ata malishem eitzim. So the same type of svara over here. That what? You should go and do lamala. What happens if you do lamala? Then clearly any chatas behema blood you were yoytzi. Put on the four kronis and lamala. What about the tachtoinim? For any is a tachtoinim milmalon, and I will deem that all of the other blood which should have been put lamata, it's as if temporarily, as they were put lamala, they were mayim at the time, and therefore nothing was lost as a result. I didn't gain anything by doing oila blood lamala, certainly I should have done a lamata, but I will deem it as if it was mayim at the time, and then miyasa yitza lamata, now go and take the remaining blood in the mizrak, and after all, if you're only taking four dabs on the four koronis, you still have plenty of blood left. So take all the rest of the blood and now give your shos, go and do Azrika Lamata, Shtaim Shein Arba, and be machshir everything. Spill all of it out. What happens if they didn't ask any questions and he did that in that way? Then it's kosher. It's kosher. In other words, if he did it lamal and lamata, we just said now, even the chum hold with the evidence. Kosher l'chadchila, he holds. We shouldn't do it that way because he doesn't hold of royin kilu imayim. But with the evidence, it's kosher. Now, what happens? Nitona b'mata achas she b'matona achas shenis arum nitona b'matona achas. What happens if you had bloods mixed together? And Rashi says, sai if they're mixed in the same mizrak. Sai if you have two separate koisois, one kois of the nitonim and matana achas, and the other one also matana achas. Now, which types of karbonas lemushal do you have matana achas? It says the gabi lemushal adam bechor, and the dam maser, you only have one zrika, you don't have two zrikois. Okay, so you had a kois full of both bechor and maser blood, or you had two koises, one with bechor blood and one with maser blood. What do you do now, since they're both matana achas anyway? So you know some matana achas. Even though I don't know which one is which, then do each one of them matana achas. Or if it's in one kois, one matana achas, because we hold yesh bolul, and that it will be nicely mixed together, so you only do it once. Wusimitekavana. So remember we had an earlier Mishnah that the koyin will announce, and he'll say, I'm a chavala shem mishahu. Whoever's carbon this is, I don't know if it's Yankel's carbon, I don't know if it's a Bukhari, I don't know if it's Mas. Whatever it is, the Kaddish Baruch, you know I'm bringing it with that Kavana in mind. And similarly, Matan Arba, Matan Arba. Matan Arba, Matan Arba could be two separate Chatois where you do four Lamala, or it could be Lamata where you're talking about Dam Oila and Dam Shlomen Lamushal, where both of them are Shtayim Shehein Arba. So they got mixed together either in the same Mizrak or separate Mizrak. Matnarba, you know some matnarba. Go and do shtayim shein arba, and manavshich, everything is good. What happens in matnarba, matana achas? We now have a mixture in the same mizrak of matan arba. Lemoshel, this would be shtayim shein arba, like an oiler or shlamim. And it gets mixed in with matana achas, with bechor or maser blood, which is only one matana. What do we do now? Reblaz oimin osam matnarba. Do four. And yesh bechlal masayim mana. So within the word, cheer up, you're a little bit upset. So within the four you have one, and therefore you'll be kusher on what? Zoyzok, to bless Rabbi Yeshua, Oymer, yinosim matana achas. Go and do it only one matana, and remember, b'di'eved, one matana is enough. So therefore, even though I'm here talking about l'chatchila, but since they got mixed together, it becomes like a b'di'eved situation, do one matana. And now we have a short dialogue between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Only Rabbi Lezer. If we're going to do it like you're saying, those kabbanis that require the shtayim shein arba, you're only going to do matana achas, you're going to be over on the din of bal tigra, that you are reducing the number that the Kodesh Baruch Hu requires for a mitzvah. Says back on Rabbi Shua, how are you over bal toisa, the way you're doing it, instead of doing one, you're doing matan arba, shtayim shein arba, you're being moisiv on those kabbanis that you're only supposed to do one, and you're doing two. Omle Rabbi Lezer, lo yinem bal toisa, kishu ba'atzmai. The only din of atois is if it would be on its own. In other words, if you had your bechor or your maser, which only does one, and you did it too, then you bring over atois. But here it's mixed together with bloods which attack shtayim shein arba. So I'm later be sure leinem about tigra kishuhu baatzmai. When do you say about tigra that you're supposed to do shtayim shein arba and you only did one? That's if it's on its own, but it's got mixed in together b'di'evin. I'm not concerned about bal tigra. Why don't be sure? Rabbi Shua has the final word in our Mishnah, and Rabbi Shua says a very, very cogent, a very, very strong, logical svar. You're right. Each one of them has this problem. If you're only going to do one instead of four, you got a bal tigra. If you're going to go do four instead of one, you're going to have a bal toisif. However, there's a major difference between being oiver bekum v'asei or b'shevi al tasa. Kumvase means that you go ahead and actively perform something which is a violation of the Torah. Talking about sheva al tasa means you just sit on your hands and the problem is going to happen on its own. For instance, if you're talking about the din of a carbon, that you have to eat it within a special period of time, and if you leave it over beyond that period of time, it becomes noiser. You're over an iser of leisir memenoibak. You're over. However, it's an iser that you are being over b'shev al tasa. I'm not doing anything actively to be over. It's happening passively by my sitting on my hands and not eating the carbon. It's going to become noiser. So that's what Rabbi Shua is telling to Reb Lezer. In my case, when I said only put on one, you may be right that I'll be over in Baal Tigra, but I'm not actively violating the Baal Tigra. It's just I'm not doing the full four, I'm only doing one. But you, if you're only supposed to do one and you do four, you're being over in Baal Toisif Bekum Vasei. You know that it's only one, you're doing four, and you're actively adding more, you're being Baal Toisif. But you're dying. Oh, that's why it's called Asisa Masa Biyodcha. Masha'en Kain, if you're talking about the Baal Tigra, I was not over. I should have done four, and I only did one. But I did one as a case of omission, not a case of commission, and that's, of course, a much lighter form of love. And that's going to be continued tomorrow, by side.